The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Well, good morning all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Wednesday morning. It's the 9th of December 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock and you can email us whenever you like, really. It's ryan at rte.ie, or you can text for the next hour, thereabouts, 51551. We have our pet fix quiz. We may have some giveaways from Arnott's. It depends on what happens. We don't know. What we do know is that the vaccine has started to be jabbed into the arms of citizens in the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland, and that lovely scene last night on the news of Margaret Keenan, age 90, being applauded by the staff at the hospital. It gave me great cause for joy. I thought it was real nice the way she spoke, quite frankly, about how it was all going. And then the staff at the hospital lined the corridor and applauded. It was quite a beautiful scene as she was wheeled along and acknowledging the cheers as the world changed again. Once for the, I hope and think for the better. And I thought when they were talking on the news last night that the older citizens among us will be getting the vaccine first. The frontline workers will be getting the vaccine first. The people with underlying illnesses will be getting the vaccine first. Correct, correct, and correct. And that's exactly what it should be. We have such a duty to mind our older citizens, particularly at the eldest stage of the spectrum, as it were. And they have suffered and they have been through an awful lot of worry and concern, and it's been a horrible time for them and their families, and it's time for payback. And the best way we can pay them back is to mind them, and the best way we can mind them is by giving them a priority when it comes to boarding the vaccine plane, and on they go. So hear, hear to that, and here's to better and brighter days ahead. Put a few things in context. I watched the second part of the famine documentary last night. This is Ruan McGann's spectacular, or rather epic, programme, which is narrated by Liam Neeson. A beautifully made programme, the sights and shots of Ireland, and then the beautiful paintings from the famine time, just interwoven with historians telling the story of the Irish famine. We largely know the story of the Irish famine. I can't watch enough of it anyway, because I think any time they place that story in front of us, it reminds us, a salutary reminder of who we are, what we are, and how recent the famine was. In the great scheme of things, the famine was really my granddad's parents' generation. That's not very far away. And I often think when, you know, even when it comes down to, I know it kind of brings all roads back to yourself, but when you think of the 6.5 million euro that we raised as a country on the Late Late Toy Show, I firmly believe that they're connected, that we have this innate need to mind or to donate or to fund or to make people's lives a bit better, because ours were so awful. And the destitution, the workhouses, the emigration, the death, the cannibalism, all of it was laid bare in the documentary. And if you haven't seen it, it's really well worth watching back on the player. Always gets my shackles up a little bit when they talk about what was it. Was it particularly from the government response? I mean, it was a British problem. One historian said it wasn't ethnic cleansing because it doesn't fit into that. It's more that the people who died were an economic inconvenience. This is language that makes my blood boil. Because no man, no woman, no child in a country should be an economic inconvenience at any time in a country's history. And to read and to watch a million people dying by starvation because they were an economic inconvenience is incomprehensible. And even after all this time, I still don't understand. I still feel, and I've said it, I remember writing it in a book once upon a time, that the Irish famine still has the national impact on somebody like me, and I presume lots of others, as the Holocaust would have had on the Jewish people. It was that big and that awful and that catastrophic in terms of what it did to this tiny island. And here we are, resilient, determined, and fighting the good fight on into the future. It's remarkable, really, in the face of such awfulness. So there you are. That's that was a light night at home, I have to say. Kicking back, reflecting, existential struggle in my heart and soul for the spirit of the nation. Then I had a hot chocolate. couple of chocolates and said, yeah, that's it. No. But no, these things get under your skin. You know, I just find the history so fascinating, so moving. And even I mentioned yesterday in passing the beautiful beach that is Dogs Bay, and they said Dogs Bay in Roundstone, Connemara, the bodies were just left there for the sea to take them out. I have walked that beach for 30 years not knowing what lay beneath my feet, honestly. And it's everywhere, these beaches and these graveyards and these villages that were razed to the ground by this desperate horror. Okay, let's keep going, shall we? I hope you saw it, the documentary, and I hope you liked it. And if you didn't, I hope you see it because it was very, very strong. Yeah, so thanks to Ruan McGann and the programme people behind that. It was a really excellent television. 51551 is the text number this morning. And as somebody says there by text, it's true regarding the 1840s. We need to be mindful of our people lost. It's true. And actually, sorry, just I'll go back to it once more as you say that, because when I heard Nancy Pelosi this morning or last night talking about the Brexit situation and saying, you know, essentially we will not contemplate a deal that involves a breach of the Good Friday Agreement to the British. You won't get an economic deal from us if you act the maggot with that Good Friday Agreement. That flows from the famine too, because the Irish-American influence in America is directly across the bowl of bitter tears. It was the Atlantic on the coffin ships to bring the O'Briens and the Murphys and the Flanagans to the ports of America, Australia, and Canada, and Britain, everywhere in between, to work in to live in slum, and then to work their way up, whether it was the women and knitting or sewing, or needlecraft, or the men as stevedores or builders of the skyscrapers, and then eventually becoming barkeepers, and then cops, and then politicians, and ultimately in 1960, president. I mean, it's all roads. All roads lead there. A downside, says the text, of this such a programme, my granddaughter is 11 and remarked on seeing a previous programme, I don't think I like the English. Is this good? No, I think we love the English. They're our friends. Jesus, I mean, they gave us a living, half of us, down through the decades. And there's absolutely no sense of that at all. But there's no point in denying history and pause. And don't forget, the Irish weren't so good to each other. When we look at how we treated children once upon a time, not too long ago either. So history is there to tell us, please try not to do it again. It's not there to demonise whole peoples, particularly when it comes to the now. That's where we say, no, we like them now because we learnt. We shouldn't be doing that. Don't be starving a nation. Now we can be friends. A text from Mara says, the Irish have just sent over 2 million euro to the Navajo and Hopi native tribes in America in donations for COVID. Lovely. And again, we've talked about that, the Choctaw Nation, and what they did in their small but deeply meaningful way when we were in trouble. And I didn't know that, Mars. So thanks for letting me know that on text to 51551. Lovely thing that the Abbey Theatre are doing, by the way, that they tweeted out to say that if you have a loved one who can't make it back for Christmas, you can send them a piece of home. Hashtag Abbey Calling. And they've partnered with Aware, a great charity, to connect artists to their audience during the festive period. And so what they do is it's a bespoke and intimate performance, it says here, down the phone for those of us feeling isolated or who have been desperately missing the connection of live performance. And it sees 50 of Ireland's leading actors plug into the switchboard. And they'll make 2,000 phone calls. And in each phone call, the actor will read a poem or perform a speech or maybe sing a song. Your choice is yours. And you get to have a chat with the person on the other end of the phone. What a lovely thing. So it could be a seed by Paula Meehan and lines written on a seat on the Grand Canal, Dublin, by Patrick Kavanagh. Or it could be anything by Walt Whitman. WB8 I see is in there too. Maya Angelou, Kevin Barry, Roddy Doyle, Jane Austen. It's just a very, very nice thing to do. So head into the Abbey Theatre online and find out details for that. And it could be a nice way of, a treat of some sort, I suppose. I see in front of me here the great almanac that is the RTÉ Guide Christmas Special. And I mention this because it gives me a delight every time I see it. It's that childhood connection where you take it out and go, yes, to this. Yes to the marker. Yes to marking up what you must record or watch live. And it's the bumper. A bumper RT guide. So that's a Christmas special, New Year's listings. That's out now, well worth a purchase, in fairness. Always love it in my house. All exams in Scotland, yes, have been cancelled because of the disproportionate impact of coronavirus on pupils. This is their education secretary has said that the equivalent of the Scottish Leaving Cert has been cancelled for the second year in a row. And they're doing it now. Interesting, isn't it? Quite just heading towards the end of the year just to get it sorted out earlier. And they're doing it for the second year in a row after an earlier decision to scrap tests. He said the level of disruption to learners, I presume learners are students, has not been equal, with pupils from poorer backgrounds more likely to miss school to self-isolate. And he thinks that's not fair. And he said, I'm not going to stake the future of these pupils, whether they get a place at college or university or training or work, whatever it might be, on a lottery of whether their school was hit by COVID. Quite like that attitude. Exams, he says, cannot account for differential loss of learning and could lead to unfair results for the poorest pupils. And this could lead pupils to futures being blighted through no fault of their own. And that's simply not fair. Well said. Another says, Mary says, I watched the famine documentary, but the cannibalism bit so upset me. Yeah, but that's the truth. That's why that's what makes it so visceral and raw and horrible. And it was a brief bit of the programme. In fairness, it was only about 2 minutes, but it was big. I can understand why it upset you, because that's what it came to. That's what it came to. Deirdre says, I watched some of the famine programme Monday, but decided that mid-pandemic I wasn't able for it, despite Liam Neeson's soothing narration. I will watch it when I've less pandemicitis. Yeah. Well, you know what? I feel a bit that way with The Crown. You know, I find it, that it's very pandemic-friendly, because it's not, it doesn't test my my nerves. In fact, on the contrary, it calms them. And I can understand entirely why you wouldn't want to watch a programme about the famine in the middle of a pandemic. You say it well. Yes, the series on this Irish hunger was, it was excellently produced and presented, says Damien in Connemara. It's also one of the first of its kind not to bombard viewers with PC nonsense, and got straight to the heart and the causes of the appalling event. It sure did. And that's why it had such an effect, I think, certainly on me. Now, I'm going to play some music. And we have a piece. It's two-pronged, really, because David Bowie's in the news a bit today. The Royal Mint over in the UK have launched, and by saying launched, because he's the space guy, we have a lot of space in our lives the last couple of weeks, a commemorative coin celebrating the career of David Bowie. So they sent the coin to an altitude of nearly 120,000 feet as it revealed the third edition of its Music Legends series. The first was Queen, then Elton John, and now Bowie. And it's a 1 ounce silver proof coin. It went for 45 minutes, launched before safely descending, and is being offered as a competition prize. Nice. The Mint said the design had been inspired by an image of Bowie from his time spent living and recording in Berlin. And it features the iconic lightning bolt motif from Aladdin's Sane and captures Bowie's career journey, it says here. And thanks to the latest innovative technology and manufacturing techniques, the Mint said that the lightning bolt that features on a number of the special edition coins appears to be laced with stardust to create a glitter effect. So it's the full Bowie thing. But obviously I'm going to play a bit of Bowie today with Bing. This is the famous, this is one of my favourite Christmas songs, actually, by David Bowie and Bing Crosby. And David Bowie's son, Duncan Jones, who's a movie director, he's quite lunar, isn't he, and in his endeavours, sent a tweet to say, I remember being on the set for this shoot, meeting Mr. Crosby, and then the two of them singing. I remember thinking, oh, they're singing that song Dad was practicing in the kitchen, as he would be, because he was going to meet Bing Crosby. He would have been going around having a little sing in the kitchen, making the toast and getting ready for the big encounter between Bowie and Bing. And he thought that was nice. There's a lovely picture of the two of them in this tweet from Duncan Jones. If you haven't seen it, it's quite bizarre. It's like they're standing at a piano in Bing Crosby's house, although it's a studio, but we don't need to know that necessarily. And we know the famous song. It's only a couple of minutes long. But before they got to sing the song, there was this dialogue for the two of them met at the door and going, you know, boom, 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 hello. And he said, Bowie's here to sing a song. And they were kind of meeting to say hello to each other. The dialogue is desperate. It's wooden. And it's brilliant. So I'm going to play a bit of it and then we get the gorgeous song.
I'm Bing.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you. You're the one that sings, right?
Well, right or wrong, I sing either way.
Oh, well, I sing too.
Oh, good. What kind of singing?
Well, mostly the contemporary stuff. Do you like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine. But tell me, you ever listen to any of the older fellas?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm not as young as I look.
None of us is these days.
In fact, I've got a six-year-old son. And he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday mm-hmm. thing.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the Bowie household Christmas time?
Actually, our family do most of the things that other families do. We sing the same songs.
Do you?
I even have a go at White Christmas.
You do, huh?
And this one. This is my son's favourite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing.
Can it be
Yeah, I like that. Always got to get that little line at the end from Bing. That's Bing Crosby and David Bowie and Peace. I love duets. Always loved duets. And that's one of the most beautiful ones, I think. As Paul says, now it's Christmas with Bing. And it sure is. And Hillary says, I have that Bowie and Bing song on a picture disc. Great. I remember my sister, Rachel, had a 12-inch picture disc of Wham's Last Christmas. Now, there's something. Beat that. Okay, I'm from rural Carlo, says John. At one time, I did a lot of outdoor pursuits around my home and I came across ruin after ruin of small, complete derelict buildings covered in ivy and weeds. All you could see left was the chimney breast, stained with soot, and everything else was gone. I wondered in my innocence, where have those people gone? And now we know. Yeah, they're probably running and building America. I thought the famine documentary was excellent, says Deirdre. Compliments to Ruan McGann. The brutal cruelty of the policy was just abhorrent. It was. It really was, but it was well put together. Is that live from heaven, that song, Michael, in Dublin 12? I think it might be. Direct from Bowie and Bing sitting up at the celestial piano, banging out a tune for us this morning to calm our souls. Beautiful, says the text. I love it. I've forgotten about that one. Yeah, it's one of the greats. Right. Beasts of England, Beasts of Ireland, gather you all, because now we're talking about Petfix, and this is petfixclub.com. We have great prizes to give away from them all this week. And this is a club for pet lovers. If your pet likes a cigar and whiskey after dinner, they go to this club. No, I'm joking. This is a club where...
How's the war going? The war?
Not bad. Yeah. A little pipe. You might have... That's in my head, but meanwhile, in their head, it's much more practical. You go on to this club line and you find out for the pet lovers who want the best healthcare and the best well-being advice for their pets without the time and cost of unnecessary visits to the vet. No to those visits. You don't want them in their lives. The club is created by a team of trusted animal experts. It includes well-known Irish vet Pete Wedderburn, so you're in good hands. If you want to take part in our animal trivia quiz, you can give us a call on 1850-715-900. What are you going to win? Well, you'll win a one-night bed and breakfast trip and dinner in the Muckross Park Hotel in Spath in Killarney. You'll have a pet-friendly hotel experience there. So you can bring the cat, bring the dog, maybe leave the hamster behind. But you know what I mean. It's pet-friendly, but it's not stupid. And you get a year's membership to Petfix Club. And a €150 voucher to spend in the Petfix Club store, which means lots of stuff for your cat, or your dog, or whatever you might be having yourself. More information about Petfix and details of how to join, go to petfixclub.com. It's very, very straightforward. Elsewhere, 51551 and email ryan@rte.ie. I saw Dionne Warwick in concert once in the Vicar Street. In fact, she was on the Late Show. And do you know some people are just elegant? Can't help themselves. She might feel rough. She might want to be rough. She can't. Because God said, no, I'm afraid you're one of life's elegant people. You're going to just go through life looking like this and feeling like this. She was an elegant person. So I was quite shocked to see today that her anti-aging formula is, you know, she's going to be 80 very soon. And she's nearly six decades in a very tough business. She keeps going. She's going to be doing an online gig and what have you. And someone said to her, they asked her, so how do you look so well? Your face is, you know, your skin's great and you're healthy and you're lashing around airports and doing gigs and you're nearly 80. And she said, I love McDonald's. I eat fried chicken. And I loved everything my mother put in my mouth during my growing years. So I still eat those things. I like me. So I take care of me. I take care of my skin. I don't put makeup on every day. And I bet you there's something in that. I don't know, but I bet you. My face is clear, it's free, and it's able to breathe. So she says that she's finally on the way to quitting smoking. So she smokes, she drinks, she eats fried chicken, and she wears makeup occasionally. And she's nearly 80. Some people just have... They've got all the luck, don't they? They got the right genes. You can have loads of crack and look amazing and be elegant and be one of the best pop stars of all time. Fair lot of numbers there, I think. She says, I'm too lazy to exercise on top of everything else. Insisting that running through airports and performing have been enough to keep her in shape. You'd be surprised. You're using a lot of energy. It's a lot of exercise. That's true. That would explain why I'm still banjaxed after the toy show. I didn't know how much energy you used in the build-up and to the actual thing itself. But there, I'm no Dionne Warwick. I can just walk on by and admire and say, well, you are something else, Miss Warwick. You really are. Now, my wife says, Tom in Rosslare, oh, dear friend Tom in Rosslare says, Angie's delighted to hear the RT Guide is out, the big Christmas bumper. It's an essential part of our Christmas tradition. And the yellow highlighter, yes, is now at the ready to pick out all the Christmas films and specials. Here's to the little things. That's the truth. And Mavis in Cork says, I love Bowie and Bing. Every year I have to be picked up off the floor when I hear that song. I find it totally nostalgic. I think this Christmas has an added nostalgia onto it because of what we've been through. I think everyone's just this close to having a little cry or this close to needing a little hug or this close to needing a little minding. Something is in the air this Christmas, but let's hope it's a, as John would have said, let's hope it's a good one. Coming up, I'm going to be talking to Sinead and Mike, and they are two people who are, they're gorgeous people, and their lives were going fine, and then something very dramatic happened. And they're going to tell us their story. And I think it'll be of particular interest to some of you listening this morning. But they're great people and we'll bring them to you after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Lots of very kind and thoughtful comments for Sinead and Mike and all of us on to say, Ryan says, beware of Dr. Google. Never a truer word said. Great interview with them both and an amazing couple. I'm touched by them and listening to them this morning. Those two children they have are amazing because their parents are amazing. So bless them and continued strength and courage and love to them from Rona in Galway. And that is where we leave it for today. We had a lot of comment in on the famine documentary that I enjoyed tremendously. We might hold some of those for tomorrow. Plenty in as well about our chat with Sinead and Mike. Thank you indeed for those. And if you want to email your thoughts on whatever we've been talking about today throughout the day, you can to ryan@rte.ie. So look at, we have to leave it there. Stay tuned to Claire Byrne. Have a wonderful day and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.